have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
To Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Maren Johns.
And we have a special welcome to our YouTube viewers who had to get around an age restriction to get on the show last week. We're working on that. But in the headlines this week, President Biden and his defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, lifted the ban on transgender troops.
And our new out lesbian Department of Justice official has issued guidance that LGBTQ people are in fact protected in schools.
Now, Arkansas's governor vetoed one terrible anti-trans bill after signing others, but on this one, the legislature overrode his veto.
And a neo-Nazi has been spared prison time by a judge who believes he's suffered enough as a trans person.
Interesting story. That out lesbian Georgia representative who was arrested for trying to witness Governor Brian Kemp signing his voter suppression law, she is facing serious jail time.
And guess who? We've got a new candidate looking at the California governor's race. It's a transgender celebrity. I wonder if you know who it is.
She is. Patrick O'Connell, who founded Visual Aids and the very famous Day Without Art, has died.
And Lil Nas X's new song has debuted at number one, and he's got a message for us.
Yeah, and I just want to say, we're going to talk about that a little bit more later, but there's no age restriction on watching that, and 100 million people have watched it. But we ran into an issue last week with the show. For the first time, YouTube put an age restriction on us. You had to say, over 18 or something in order to watch the show. And we are objecting to that. They didn't accept the appeal from Free Speech TV. We're working on it. There is nothing, certainly on this show, that goes beyond anything Lil Nas X is doing. And it should not be age restricted. We depend on having younger viewers being able to watch this show.
You know, my thoughts on this, Andy, I think it's about artificial intelligence. They've got the artificial part right. They are lacking in the intelligence. They just see the word gay and they think it's, adults.
Well, that shouldn't be. And we are going to pursue this. And we're going to also make the show available in our emails that we send out on Vimeo. We are on Vimeo as well, which does not have that same kind of restriction. But let's get to anything else on this for now?
I think we've got to be a little bit vigilant about our digital platforms and realize what we're signing up for when we click those terms and conditions, and we're accepting all kinds of protocols that keep shifting and they're really not within our control. So we'd love support from our viewers if we can because we are not just mature content. In fact, often we're immature, aren't we, Andy?
Yes. Well, I mean, the thing is, look, we're on Free Speech TV as well as Manhattan Neighborhood Network, where we originate. And Free Speech has some restrictions on us. They say, we don't want any foul language, no nudity. So we comply with that, which we would not have to do at Manhattan Neighborhood Network. But that's fine with us because we're really just trying to give the news. And I don't see how anything we're doing is any more adult than CNN or MSNBC. And a lot less so than the offensive Fox network.
Correct.
All right. Well, let's turn to the news. When we finished taping last week, the Department of Defense announced Secretary Lloyd Austin that they're ending the ban. There he is with President Biden on the ban on trans troops that was imposed in 2018 by the former guy, we'll call him. So they're basically, this is going to go into effect on April 30th. It's just basically reverting to the Obama policy of 2016. The Palm Center estimates there are 14,700 trans troops serving in the active component and in the reserves. And don't forget, this was pending in the courts as it was. The Supreme Court allowed Trump's ban to go into effect without ruling on it back in January 2019, and it was under court challenge.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't believe it when I read that there were nearly 15,000 service members that are, you know, transgender. And I liked what Don Kirby told the members of the press in the press conference. The Secretary of Defense strongly believes that the all-volunteer force thrives when it is composed of diverse Americans who can meet the high standards for military service and an inclusive force that strengthens our national security posture. That was coming out of the Pentagon, and I agree.
Who could be against that? I hope YouTube isn't offended. And how about that Matt Gaetz? We didn't talk about him last week. He faces at least 10 years in prison and a life on the sex offenses registry for basically trafficking a 17-year-old for sexual purposes across borders, et cetera. But there's a twist to the story this week. First of all, one of the twists is that he sought a blanket pardon from Trump while Trump was still obviously in office, didn't get it. But Katie Hill, the bisexual U.S. representative from California, who resigned when her ex released revenge porn, said she had been very friendly with Gaetz, even though they disagreed on the issues, and he defended her during her scandal. But now she says Gaetz is not just accused of trafficking a 17-year-old, but of showing nude photos of women that he vetted to colleagues, which is coming from the colleagues. So something that she's working to make illegal.
Andy, did you read her op-ed in Vanity Fair at
yes,
all? And what did you think of it?
Well, I mean, she's withholding a judgment on her old friend Matt, but her mother said, cut him loose.
I thought it was really naive. I think she's probably a lovely woman, but I think she hasn't really interrogated why he might have gravitated towards her and, you know, that it wasn't perhaps all tea and sympathy in the green room at Fox News. I just look at that guy and I think he's up to no good all the time. I don't think he's really examined what he might have been after or what he might have sensed from her. There are a lot of people out there who really do gravitate towards you when you are in trouble because their motives, you don't know what they are. That's me. I don't want to say any more. I just think she does try to redeem the column at the end by saying he should resign immediately. But obviously, I just don't understand why these people whose private lives are in such disarray seek public office and public service when they I don't know. I don't understand.
Well, I think people's private lives have always been in disarray to some extent, and we all have things that we might be ashamed of if they got on the front page of the New York Times, not trafficking a 17-year-old, but, you know, things that we might be embarrassed by. Katie Hill did not have to resign. I mean, there were maybe investigations going on about her behavior for some of the involved, you know, staffers and things like that. But she could have written it out. Andrew Cuomo is writing it out for the time being and still has a lot of power. Did you think she should have resigned?
No. And it was just one unholy mess. But what I've said this before, and some people don't disagree with me. I should say, I feel when it's different having a mess of a private life if you, you know, run a bookstore or whatever. If you're holding a public office where you are serving your constituents, to me it's just common sense to get that part of your life in order because this is what happens. People are going to come for you and, it shouldn't be that way. It really shouldn't.
Thomas Jefferson was, noted at the time of having a mistress as his slave, Sally Hemings. At the time, there was that scandal. I mean, scandals throughout history. Again, with social media, it gets out there a lot more.
Do you know what I think, though? So we have the same situation in Australia right now where our governing party is being rocked by sex scandals. I think there's three or four going at the one time. And what it seems to me is it's really connected to power and privilege. You know, these people are it's appalling misconduct that's happening right now in Australia. There's accusations of rape. There's a woman who committed suicide. There is, you know, the gay male staffer who committed an indecent act on a politician's office desk.
We only know about because his ex-boyfriend took pictures of it and released it to the public. So the staffer got fired.
Yes.
He was a victim of revenge porn.
What I'll say is this. If you are attracted to politics through your ego rather than the spirit of service,
yes,
I think this is where you go astray.
Well, I mean, I think most people go astray because they sell their souls to the corporations who fund them in an office. I mean, if only our needs, the needs of average people and poor people, et cetera, were their number one priority, but they're not. And it's reflected in the budgets and the laws that they pass. By the way, are we ready to move on?
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell this week, bellyaching about corporate interference in Georgia politics. That's rich. And then he says he wants them to stay out of it. Just keep sending us money.
Georgia. What else is happening in Georgia, Andy? Not much.
Well, we will talk about that. I'm trying to keep the order of the photos. Let's give them some good news. The Department of Justice this week issued a memo saying that anti-LGBTQ discrimination is now, once again, banned in schools, reversing yet another Trump attack. And it was issued by Pamela Karlan. You may remember her from the impeachment hearings. That's where she's speaking there. She's now a lesbian who represented the plaintiffs in the Bostock case, which is that wonderful decision that she is citing that says discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity is sex discrimination and illegal. So she wrote a memo that Title IX's coverage of sex covers sexual orientation and gender identity, and this will be used in court battles against all those anti-LGBT laws that we've been talking about.
Yes.
So that's great. And I think we should really go to the news of the week in Arkansas.
Mm. What's your take on this? Arkansas's governor vetoes.
Well, yes, he did. Asa Hutchinson, we talked about him last week. He signed an anti-LGBT bill, basically allowing people to cite religious reasons for discriminating against us. But he vetoed the bill that banned transition-related care to minors, saying it would create new standards of legislative interference with physicians and parents as they deal with some of the most complex and sensitive matters involving young people. So he listened to parents, he listened to physicians, and he said we shouldn't do this. But the legislature can override you with a simple majority vote, and they did overwhelmingly override his veto. But it was encouraging that he got it. He went on Tucker Carlson's show to defend what he did, and Tucker Carlson, who is the lowest of the low, kept saying, "Governor, You're for chemical castration of children?" I mean, he kept saying it over and over. And Hutchinson held his ground and he said, "Hold off. This bill does not even allow people who have been receiving treatment to continue to receive treatment. It has to be cut off." And as we reported last week, kids are writing to health providers and saying, first of all, they're trying to take their own lives over this and say they will take their own lives if this is cut off. This is the first of this kind, and there's another one in North Carolina that's on deck. It would ban trans youth. It would also require parents to, professionals who become aware of a kid, engaging in gender nonconformity to contact the parents. And the point is, I mentioned Tucker Carlson. Where do you think all these Republicans get the ideas to do this? Fox News has been flogging anti-trans stuff for years and is giving them the signals to do this. And that's where they take their cues from.
They sure do. This bill, HB 1570, this is the one we're talking about. This is erroneously called Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act. That really is safe. I mean, this is just appalling how they've even dressed the bill up to make it sound like it's a good thing.
Well, Hutchinson said he would have signed it if it was just banning gender reassignment surgery for minors. There is no gender reassignment surgery for minors. They get hormone treatments, they get hormone blockers, those kinds of things. Even the Walton Family Foundation, very big in Arkansas, spoke out against this. And Democrat Senator Clark Taylor called it the most powerful, again, bullying the most vulnerable people in our state. So the ACLU is preparing litigation against this. We had Arlie Christian from the ACLU on last week, and they said that they're on it. And I hope that they can stop.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Did you read that article about the survey of the U.S. Supreme Court cases on religious freedom in the Times this week?
Absolutely. I'm glad somebody's done a study on this and is actually tracking the way we have drifted away from a kind of governance that serves all of us, and also the religious minorities that have been protected in the past were actually minorities, and now it's really Christianity, the Christian organizations who are being protected by these religious freedom.
They found that over the last 70 years, there's been a 35% increase in favorable rulings to religion, and that under Chief Justice Roberts, the decisions have gone 81% of the time on the side of religion in whatever the case is. And I'm not saying it shouldn't ever go with religion. I mean, it used to be about half and half. You know, I mean, religious minorities and religious people have rights and they deserve to be protected. But they're now trying to impose religion on everybody else and they're getting away with it. And of course, we are awaiting, we won't know until probably June, what happens in the Philadelphia case. Can you get government money and discriminate against gays against the anti-discrimination laws?
Mm-hmm. And the justices, there's really five justices who are responsible for this drift. Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, John Roberts, and of course, Brett Kavanaugh.
And add to that, Amy Coney Barrett. So we're doomed unless we can reform the courts.
Mm.
All right. Let's move. Let's move on to Georgia.
Yes.
We told you about out-state Representative Park Cannon. That's a picture of her when she took office in 2016, when she was about 22 or 3. But she was arrested knocking on the door of Governor Brian Kemp as he signed the Jim Crow voter suppression law. She is now facing 8 years in prison for obstruction and preventing or disrupting a General Assembly session. She's raising money for her defense and promises that everything she raises beyond what she needs for the defense will go into fighting for voting rights. This Georgia law lets the legislature replace a local election board if they don't like the results, and takes away power from the Secretary of State in having the legislature run elections that they get elected to. This is fascism. Is
of course.
A bad word to say?
Well, no. The F word. But in addition to this, what troubles me about this incident is what happened in the incident itself, that there is video showing her softly knocking on the door. There's nobody screaming or yelling or shouting or creating an uprising that could have in any way been mistaken for the rioting at the state capitol. This is captured on video, but will this video evidence stand up against the 13-page incident report written by the state troopers who dragged her away? It seems crazy to me that people are saying two different things happened.
Well, the state troopers were already throwing in charges that she stepped on our foot. You know, I mean, come on. Not a violent person. But it was nice to see Major League Baseball pull the All-Star game out of Atlanta. I certainly think that's a good signal. And I was surprised that President Biden called for that. Whereas Stacey Abrams in the state of Georgia, who wants to run for governor again, said, I don't want people to boycott us. I want them to stay and help us fight this. But our Republican colleagues have to understand when you take actions like this, people are going to react to it. And so it is good to see corporations stand up, but they better stand up by stop funding the bad people who pass these laws. You know, Facebook paused their donations to a lot of Republicans after the coup attempt. They're back giving the money. All right. All right, where are we going now? How about Seattle? Oh, how about this story? You want to take it? The federal judge?
No, you go.
All right. So a federal judge declined to impose prison time on a former member of a neo-Nazi ring that was harassing journalists, 21-year-old Tyler Parker Diep, who is saying he suffered enough being transgender from his co-conspirators. He was charged in 2020 with three others for being part of the Atomwaffen Division, a white supremacist group. They left Nazi posters at the homes of journalists and where was it? Florida, Arizona, Washington State. Wow. So the U.S. attorney wanted 16 months, and the defense said he suffered a lot of abuse from his family and school for being transgender. And he tearfully apologized and was expelled from the group for being trans. And now he fears retaliation from them.
Hmm. I feel so sad about this because one of the things we've always said, almost like a truism in our community, is that the young ones are better. The young ones are going to grow up better without the problems, without the internalized homophobia or internalized transphobia. And it really saddens me that Taylor Parker DePepe didn't actually, you know, decide to get involved with the transgender community, be proud and be an activist and, you know, go for the light, instead gravitating towards this quite hopeless sounding neo-Nazi gang. It just saddens me. I just do want to tell young people in our community who are coming out, you know, go towards the light, go towards the things that will strengthen you, not weaken you.
Well, Anne and I worked at the Hedrick Martin Institute for LGBT Youth back in the 80s and 90s. And one of the things that interested me about the kids is some of them held very conservative positions on issues, anti-abortion, whatever. And I think part of that is you're coming into this new identity that you didn't ask for. You're discovering about yourself, but you sort of still want to be who you were, or connecting to your family, your religion, your politics even, although usually once you accept who you are, that's going to move you out of the Republican Party almost for sure. Seriously, it's a big indicator. But that's what happens. Yeah, it happens. Yeah. So I think he'll get over it. A more prominent transgender person is making news in California.
Yes. Now, Caitlyn Jenner is probing the possibility of stepping into Governor Gavin Newsom's shoes because the Republicans are recalling the election. Is that correct?
They got it on the ballot, a recall. There will be a recall election, and then there will be an if he gets recalled, there will be an election. I think he's up for election anyway this year, so you know there's going to be an election, but Caitlin is exploring it. And who is she exploring it with? GOP fundraiser Carolyn Wren, who was one of the fundraisers for the coup attempt rally on January the 6th. But who also, Caitlin met Carolyn through the American Unity Fund, which is a GOP nonprofit promoting LGBT issues. I mean, good luck with that.
I come back to this idea of service, public service. If she's doing it for the right reasons, wonderful. If she's doing it just to expand her, career or ego, I think it's probably for the wrong reasons. And it's a tough gig. California's a big state. They've got a lot of issues, and I think climate change is right up there as probably number one issue right now. So good luck, Caitlin, if you do run.
I wonder how Caitlin feels about the new law that went into effect in California for trans inmates. They're now allowed to be in facilities based on their gender identity, and there have been 200, since it went into effect in January, 261 requests for transfers, almost all of them wanting to go from a men's facility to a women's facility. So it's coming from trans women. There's some resistance within, and it's going very slowly in terms of processing this request. And, you know, some of the prison officials are sort of whipping up misinformation. The men are coming for you in the women's facility. I mean, look, there are some issues around, you know, women who were crimes were committed against them by men. You know, they try to play on those fears, but that's what's happening in California right now. Okay. Hey, did you read this thing about we're down to 15 total lesbian bars in the United States now?
Did you read it? It is ever shortening. I thought it might even be less than that, to be honest. I'm hoping when we get out of this pandemic that there will be a resurgence and a reevaluation of bricks and mortar establishments for our community. That's what I'm hoping.
So you want the bars to make a comeback? You want them to be different kinds? You want coffee houses? You want what do you want? What do you want to see?
Well, I mean, what do I want to see? I mean, our generation and the ones before us even really did gravitate towards alcohol as a way of, relaxing and really cutting to the chase of getting to know people. It was the fastest way, in a way, to try and, break down barriers. And I do wonder if younger generations have such a dependence on it as we did. So it may not just be bars. It may indeed be, coffee houses, places where people can access their digital media and chat to people while they're in a brick and mortar place.
Well, of course, everybody can meet, through these devices now, and they will just say, let's meet for coffee and get together. And that's the way they made. Even people who go to bars, I noticed even 10 years ago, were in the bar, looking at the people in the room online to see what their Grindr profiles were, Tinder profiles were, right there in the bar. So the socializing is very, very different. But, of course, most of this has to do with the pandemic.
Lesbian bars were suffering before the pandemic, that's for sure. One of the reasons is because the more we're accepted into other places, we can mix freely, the less, I suppose, we need to seek out our own as the only choice. But I will say there's really nothing like walking into Cubbyhole in the West Village for happy hour when it's packed and seeing your people and seeing them right in front of you. There's really nothing like that. Even if you only do it once a year, do it. Go and have a beer, support your local, and then they'll be there when you really do need them.
Or a ginger ale. Meanwhile, the Pyramid Club is closing permanently, supposedly. This is in the East Village, a real institution. Our director, Rich, made me aware of this. It was a storied, had a storied history with the ACT UP members back in the day. And it was also the place that elevated RuPaul and Lady Bunny.
Listen, it's real. You don't just come out of your iPhone and spring like Apollo, into the universe. You actually have to turn up and you actually have to, take space and hold space in society. So if we lose all of these community spaces, I wonder how you're going to make your debut as a queer. That's how I wonder.
Remember we've been reporting on this, right? How people identify. And actually, there are fewer people identifying as gay or lesbian. Many are saying they're non-binary or queer, and it's broader, and it's less, categorized in that sense. It's just more of a spectral thing. Again, I have a younger roommate. He's gay. But he likes to go to non-gay bars to meet people. I mean, he'll arrange to meet people, and it's just a general environment, So whatever. Times are changing.
They are.
All right. Let's go to. Well, speaking of segregation, Pride Airways. It's in the works. They say they're only going to cater to LGBT+ travelers. And I don't think that's really the plan. Maybe it is. But it was an illustration for this story. They're only going to fly twice a week from San Francisco to London. The goal is to have a fun flight where LGBT people can be themselves. It's sort of like the cruises, right? Olivia cruises and what's the Atlantis cruises for gay men. Peter Tatchell, the great activist from the UK, says it smacks of segregation and the consequences for privacy and human rights are deeply concerning since the directors of this airline have not confirmed that they are LGBT. He calls it a silly fad. Well, but obviously some people are going to gravitate towards this and think it's going to be fun. But you can run a public service and say only gay people can come to this thing. I think you have to be open to anybody who wants to be on the plane.
See, it depends what they're offering. You know, if all the flight attendants were drag queens, it's very possible I will book. You know, I mean, I was once on an American Airlines flight, and I just leaned in. I was flying with my partner of the time, and just before takeoff, you know, because she was kind of, you know, nervous about flying, I just leaned in and gave her a little peck, little touch of the nose. And the flight attendant basically rebuked us for that as if it was some gigantic display. And I just felt really, I always had a bad feeling about American after that. I really felt it was homophobic, that if we'd been a straight couple, she wouldn't have done that. So
it's not to be the same standards for everybody in terms of displays of affection, but people get unhinged still at same-sex affection, and they got to get over it. And I hope American Airlines is. Did you make a complaint or?
I think I tweeted about it, and they said, oh, where, you know, the wording they used was something like, they made it out like it was my fault, or the wording was something like, you know, as they do in a restaurant when you send back a dish, something like, we're sorry the dish was not to your liking, rather than say, I'm sorry if our staff upset you.
It will never happen again. That's what they should have said.
Right. Yeah.
Well, speaking of cracking down on LGBTQ affection, of course, we reported how the Catholic Church says they will not bless same-sex unions because they cannot bless sin. Outrageous. So there was a rally outside St. Patrick's on Easter Sunday to protest the Pope and the Vatican's condemnation of us. Brendan Fay, who's in the middle there, I think, who's a big dignity activist, the gay Catholic group, said the church blesses goats, dogs, cats, and Easter eggs, but gay couples are apparently unworthy. 100 theologians, Catholic, signed a pledge to bless same-sex couples. There were 900 more who approved of it, but are remaining anonymous because they're afraid. And by the way, I read today that the very famous pro-gay Catholic priest theologian, Hans Kyung, died. He was one of the people behind Vatican II, which did liberalize many things in the Catholic Church, if you can believe that. But there's been a lot of retrenchments since. And he was silenced by the church at one point for just, you know, speaking out as a theologian. But he wrote many, many, many great books. And Hans Kyung, 93. Okay.
What does a blessing cost? A blessing doesn't cost anything. This is what annoys me. What does it cost them? You tell me.
Well, when you run an all-male dominated church where the priests are not even supposed to have sexuality, basically, they would be giving up on their power structure. All right. In New York State, a lot of bills are passing right now, and they are ending long-term solitary confinement in prisons. You can't isolate someone for more than 15 days. This was all spurred by the death of transgender inmate Leilene Polcano after an epileptic seizure. So we're making some progress on that front. All right. Mm-hmm. What about Michigan, the Court of Appeals there? They recognize you for this?
Yes. Good news for same-sex parents. So two women who used to be together and had, I think, two kids, had a ruling from Michigan. Uh-huh.
One contributed the egg, one was the womb. Yes.
Exactly. So one, they were not married. They were parents. One was a genetic parent and the other parent gave birth. Lanesha Matthews and Kyria Lefevre. They had twins together using assisted reproduction. In vitro fertilization, rather. And basically, the one that didn't carry the child was ruled in the court as having no rights in a custody. Right. Now she wants custody of the children.
And the court decided against her in the first place, but this was the Court of Appeals, and they reversed.
Court of Appeals. They reversed the trial court's ruling so that they now have equal access to the children as equally weighted parents, which is really good. And the National Center for Lesbian Rights Family Law Director, Kathy Sakamura, said that we know that families are formed in many ways. Recognizing genetics as the only basis for parent-child relationships leaves out many families and harms children by separating them from their parents.
Thank you, NCLR, the National Center for Lesbian Rights. Thank you also to Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia, good guy, who signed the bill banning the LGBTQ panic defense there in Virginia. And, you know, we've been talking about trans athletes. So this group, Athlete Ally, did a study of Division I colleges and found that 70% don't offer LGBTQ support resources for LGBTQ athletes. 80% don't have a code for the fans in the stands about conduct that addresses harassment of players or of spectators. And 92% don't have fully inclusive policies for trans athletes. So they're calling this the Athlete Equality Index, and you can read all about it at athleteally.org. That link will be in our email. Go to our email. Sign up for our emails every week at gayusatv.org. We'll also give you the link to the Vimeo if you can't go through YouTube and all that stuff. All right, some obits. We want to update you on Paul Feinman, the first out gay high court judge in New York, who died at the age of 61. We now know that that's him with on the right with his husband, Robert Ostergaard. We now know the cause of death. It was acute myeloid leukemia, a cancer that starts in the bone marrow and often spreads to the blood. So he is survived by his husband, who he married in 2013, as well as his mother and two siblings. He is a former president of the International Association of LGBTQ Judges. You want to tell us about Pat Collins?
She was a fabulous Broadway lighting designer. This is right.
Tony Award winner on Broadway for 50 years. She has died at the age of 88 of pancreatic cancer. I think the most remarkable thing in the story is that she's survived by her partner of 64 years.
64 years.
Sturmer, yes.
That's amazing.
Well,
can you imagine?
She won
like the life.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just imagining the life of working on Broadway and working, you know, there are so few female theater technicians anyway. But she did some lighting designs for some pretty terrific shows, and it must have been a fascinating life, and to have held a really long-term relationship together all that time, 64 years, is pretty fantastic.
She won the Tony for I'm Not Rappaport in 86, but she lit more than 30 Broadway shows, including Eight Misbehavin' with Andre DeShields and Doubt, for which she was also nominated. She is remembered by John Lee Beatty, who is a scenic designer, as doing lighting like her personality, nervy and intelligent, but with a sensitive side. She also worked in regional theaters throughout the United States and Europe. All right. International news, or you got anything else? International?
Do we have time? There was in Ghana, police have arrested 22 LGBTQ people at a so-called lesbian wedding. It seems to me more like holding up anybody who's different. We don't know. They claim it wasn't a lesbian woman, but
somebody called the cops on them and said, "We will burn them. We will burn all of them." The police sent out shared videos of the arrests. LGBT rights Ghana is working to free them and fighting off a campaign to get shut down themselves. I don't think Fox News will include this in their series on cancel culture somehow. And better news from China. The popular young internet celebrity, Abily, there she is, 19 years old. She announced she's transgender, officially a girl, she said, in a post that has received support from Chinese netizens and her fans. She said she enjoyed wearing her mom's heels since she was little. Her announcement got 6 million views within days, probably up to whatever. And she recalled being bullied in school, forced to use the boys' bathroom. Her 2 million fans love her dancing videos inspired by female idols on Chinese version of TikTok. All right. So we talked about Australia already. What about Russia? The premier documentary film festival there pulled a film about a gay MMA, mixed martial arts fighter from Chechnya after receiving threats. The film festival received threats if they showed this. It's called Silent Voice. It shows the fighter having to flee Belgium after his brother discovers he's gay. So he runs off to Belgium. But, you know, censorship in Russia, nothing new. And then in Canada, a gay Palestinian migrant by the name of Samir, they're not giving a last name. He sought asylum in Canada because he was harassed as Muslim in Ohio, all right? And Canada won't give him asylum because the guy's 33. When he was 18 years old, he was in an accident. It was ruled vehicular homicide. His best friend died. And you can't be given asylum if you have been convicted of that kind of a crime. But he said his home country is Jordan. And he says his father and brother say they will kill him if he returns by throwing him off a building or burning him alive. They're trying to make an appeal here, a final last minute appeal, but it looks like Canada is set to deport him. All right. AIDS news?
Over to you.
All right. So there was an HIV outbreak in the largest county in West Virginia, Kanawha. And Joe Manchin, Senator Manchin, who holds all the cards in the Senate these days, wrote the CDC, "This is the most concerning in the United States." I wish he had that much concern for LGBT rights because he's not supporting our bill. Back in February, Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis, who's been on the show at the CDC, met with their HIV task force. 64% of these cases are due to sharing needles. But in 2018 in West Virginia, needle exchange programs were canceled. So now on an emergency basis, this happened in Indiana too. They're trying to reinstate needle exchange so that so many people don't die. Ugh. All right, Broadway Backwards, yep. The show that we were promoting from Broadway Cares and the LGBT Center. This is during virtual, and they basically, you know, they did some new numbers, but they also ran some past tapes. They raised a record-breaking $749,000 for those groups. Back to Governor Northam in Virginia. He also signed a bill modernizing the HIV laws there. Somewhat curbing the HIV criminalization. It's the first Southern state to do so. But the final bill still makes it a class 6 felony for transmission, $2,500 fine or up to 5 years in prison. But it does help to reduce HIV stigma and decrease barriers to prevention services. In New York, the Callan Lord Center is launched a free clinic for sex workers. It's called Cecilia's Occupational Inclusion Network, named for a community activist, Cecilia Gentile. All right.
So much work for us. Cecilia's terrific.
Yes.
Very tireless worker.
Yes, yes, indeed. And then we lost Patrick O'Connell this week. He's died at the age of, I'm not sure if he was 67 or 68. He was born in 1953. He was the founding director of Visual AIDS, which is still going strong, from 1989 to 95. He planned the first Day Without Art in 1989. That's the day when museums cover up artworks to show the losses that we're experiencing from AIDS. It was very dramatic and profound back then and still is. They still do the Day Without Art. He was also a major mover behind the Night Without Light and the Red Ribbons. He was a big mover in terms of that, making that an international symbol. You saw it on all the celebrities at the award shows. He did that. He received many awards, including an honorary doctorate from Trinity College. Patrick O'Connell, one of our great, great AIDS leaders. And Anne might not let me do this story if she were here, but there's a report of a phase 1 trial of a new HIV vaccine. based on the Moderna COVID-19 inoculation. It's shown a 97% antibody response in those phase one clinical trials. So it could become the first stage of a multi-step strategy to combat HIV. And, you know, we were hoping for this. Everybody turned around when they got it. We got this COVID vaccine within a year and said, what about HIV? You know, and some of the technology is being used here. It was just a study on 48 adults. Now they're going to test it on people who might need the vaccine and see if it does any protection for them. But it was just a safety thing. And so some hope there. But remember.
Yeah, something good out of this.
Well, I say, hope for a vaccine, but there are treatments, folks, and there is PrEP to prevent you from getting HIV, but a vaccine would be nice. All right, entertainment news. So, Lil Nas X, number one single again, with his new song, Montero, Call Me By Your Name. We have a picture of him there. That's him, and then there's him with doing a lap dance for Satan. I hope that doesn't get us knocked off YouTube again with an age restriction, but it's not getting him. I mean, when I look this up, it's the number one song on Billboard's Hot 100, and it's his second number one hit after Old Town Road. It had, this is an unfathomable to me, 100 million views. I mean, this guy knows how to get publicity.
But do you like the song?
Look, I'm not a music man. So as people know here, I don't review music often. I go to musicals. But it's provocative. I love the theme of it, which is really about all the persecution that he faced. He said this week, this will open doors for many other queer people to simply exist, is what he said. But the rapper, Sada Baby, I don't know Sada, wished that his God was punishing Lil Nas X instead of DMX, who overdosed and is on life support. Hasn't apologized for that yet. But Lil Nas X, in response to Sada Baby, is just enjoying the attention, because that's what's driving this. All right, did you watch any of the Ernest Hemingway series on PBS? I've been watching it. He's quite a character. Well,
tell me what you say about
it. It's Ken Burns. And there's this big thread of gender fluidity in Ernest Hemingway. You know, his mother used to dress him as a girl with his sister, but she also used to dress the sister as a boy. So who knows what the mother was up to? She was pretty conservative, actually. But it doesn't seem to deal with any male lovers, you know. And he had four wives, and he killed a lot of animals and, you know, had a lot of controversial views. But it's an interesting series. How about that Kate Winslet?
I love Kate Winslet. I love her. She's very, very loquacious. She talks very well. She's very emotionally present. And she gave an interview with, I think it was it The Independent, in which she said that she knew of at least four gay actors who are keeping their sexuality hidden due to the belief that if they come out, they will lose their roles. Oh, Sunday Times, not The Independent, rather. And I'm now, we're all like, who is it? Who is it? And I think because she didn't really talk about their genders, so they could be female or male. But the one person she does, she teases it out a little bit. She says that many of these people are young actors, some well-known already, who are starting out. Some are starting out. They're terrified their sexuality will be revealed and that it will stand in the way of their being cast in straight roles. She said that she has an anecdote that she knows a well-known actor who was recently told by an American agent to keep the fact that they are bisexual a secret. The agent said, I understand you are bisexual. I wouldn't publicize that. Very interesting.
In our environment, you know, look, I mean, I had to use up some airline miles, so I started getting People magazine, and it's keeping me a little bit more up on pop culture. The editor of People is gay, and they cover a lot of LGBT celebrities and their partners and their lives. And it's very hard to keep your quote on your personal life. I'm not going to call it your private life. If it's totally your private life, what you're doing behind closed doors, we don't know about it. But if you have a partner, it's going to get out. It's going to be talked about. People are going to take, if you're a big enough celebrity, they're going to take pictures of you and they're going to put them, whether you like it or not. I mean, they were taking pictures of Kevin Spacey making out with guys, you know, up in the mountains for years. And yet he still never wanted to talk about it. And of course, you know, this is a very sensitive issue with a lot of our viewers. And we don't try to expose, you know, anybody who's going to get hurt by it. But public figures who lead public gay lives by going out and, you know, being seen with people, are we expected then to just ignore what we see in front of our eyes?
Hmm. Look, I my thoughts on this. I've known straight actors, very, very good, very famous straight actors, who also didn't want to talk about their private lives. One actress in particular who's won every award under the sun. She said to me, I'd rather not talk about that because when you see me, I just want you to see the character.
I think that's fine. Sure. If you don't want to talk about your, you know, that's fine. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, if you are a public figure, people will tend to want to write about your relational life if they can see it. Like people show up to award shows with their partners on their arms, right? Mostly, even though the partners are not necessarily interested in being in the public eye. So it's there. But by the way, what did you think about, did you see Ammonite, the Kate Winslet film?
Yes, indeed. I thought it was good. I thought that
there was what it is. Tell people, 1840s.
Yeah, it's a very grim British drama set in the 19th century about a real life paleontologist, who Mary Anning, who is played by Kate Winslet, who there's no historical record that she was gay, really definitively, but the director who wrote this story and directed it, Francis Lee, decided that he would make her gay. And it is extraordinary in many regards. There's some incredible scenes. I think Kate Winslet's fabulous. I think Saoirse Ronan is always fabulous. I just had a couple of nitpicky things about it, which is, you know, there's a scene, the penultimate scene at the end, where they are deciding why they can't be, they can or cannot be together. The way it was written didn't ring true to me, and I think that's because, frankly, there was not a lesbian in the room, not in the wheelhouse of directing, writing, or acting. Oh. And I think that's where. But the sex scenes in this film are terrific, and I'm not meant to sound, that's not meant to sound like strange. It actually is acting, and I think that Kate Winslet talked at length about this, which was, she was the proudest of those scenes of anything in her career she's ever done. In fact, probably the proudest. She said this is her best work. And I think that when we criticize straight actors for playing gay, what I want to ask people is, what do you think acting is? It's a suspension of disbelief that also paradoxically carries truth. And if we disagree that that's what it is now, if we want acting and the theatre arts and film to do the heavy lifting for politics and how we really want the world to look, then I think we have to renegotiate what our contract with fiction is. That's my belief. Because I would like gay people to be allowed to play straight if they wanted to, as actors.
And legally you can't discriminate in casting, but of course we also have non-traditional casting where we're crossing more racial lines and things. And to some extent, gender lines, you know, casting men as women and women as men, that happens over the years, et cetera. But there certainly has been a thing about, especially with transgender roles, which almost always went to cisgendered people, that they be played by trans people. That became a thing. And that, you remember, there were actors who said, okay, I'm not going to take that role. I'm going to leave it for a trans person. But it doesn't happen as much with gay roles and lesbian roles. And Kate said she wasn't even aware that this was offered to anybody who was lesbian.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it's very interesting. I think we want the industry to catch up, and I think that we want especially the industry to catch up to transgender actors and create a space for them in the industry, as there's always been a space for gay, bisexual and lesbian people in the industry. In fact, some of them are the best actors we have. So it's time that we made room commercially for transgender performers. Right. Yes.
And you know, Ryan Murphy, when he made The Boys in the Band, both the play, well, he didn't direct the play, but it was with all out actors, all of them, that were played, you know, Jim Parsons and et cetera. And there was a thing, And then, but of course, then he did, what's the thing? He did The Prom for Netflix, and he cast James Corden in one of the most important gay roles, and there was some criticism about that. And James Corden is a good actor. I don't like what he did with that role, but I mean, you know, he's totally pro gay. But does a gay person bring something? Would have brought something else to that? I think Brooks Ashkelakis, who played him on Broadway, did bring something extra to that role, and something that was very, very appealing. But this is an ongoing debate. I remember Tony Kushner said, you know, you can't ask anybody what they are, and you know, it would be, you know, it would be wrong. It is acting. So this is going to go on forever. But also it comes up with ethnicity, right? I mean, come on. They used to have, you know, back in the day, if you were Native American, you couldn't get cast as Native. You know, they always hired, and even Asian roles. If you go back to the old movies, look at all the Caucasians who were playing Asian roles, and which would never be allowed today. I mean, Mickey Rooney at Breakfast at Tiffany's was totally offensive. But again,
yeah, there is a type of blindness that happens, I think. Like, there's been some very good films come out this year. Supernova is another one, which was, you know, the two gay male roles were played by two very fantastic straight actors, Stanley Tucci and Colin Firth. So it's like, I do feel there's a certain dimension missing. As excellent as those narratives are, something is lost, I think.
That film,
we have to agree.
We're down to our last minute. That film was interesting because nobody in the film made any issue about that this was a gay relationship. They just had liberal friends, and it was really about, you know, dealing with dementia and things like that. It just never came up. Anyway, it's been great. Well, we still have a minute to talk. Talk about queer40.com in our last couple of minutes.
Totally. Look, if you're any age at all, but especially if you're the age of 40 and above, come and visit us at queer40.com. That's queer, F-O-R-T-Y.com. We have fabulous content, and we'd love to have you drop by for a visit.
And you are the editor-in-chief of Queer 40. We can put that up on the screen. And it's been great being with you. And, of course, if you'd like to be on our email list to get our weekly bulletins, and we're going to have lots of information and links, including to Lil Nas X's video, go to gayusatv.org and sign up and maybe even make a donation. Thank you for being with us. I think Anne will be back next week, but it's been lovely being with you.
Same, Andy. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.